Hello. Welcome to another episode of the Telltale Heart, a Cardiovascular Digest for Pharmacists. We have a mini episode today, or for this week, or this week two period. And I don't have a guest, but rather I'm going to kind of just provide some interesting updates to a variety of different stories that have been kind of brought out in the last several days that I think are worth mentioning and talking to if you haven't heard about them and where we're going to go with things. So, but first and foremost, as always, if you like this podcast or content or have ideas or suggestions, please let us know. Please rate the podcast, like or subscribe. But we're going to call this type of episode or version, not just a mini, a have you seen this in the news or important things that maybe to consider or be excited about. So the first story that I kind of want to put on everyone's radar, and this happened early last week, is the FDA approved baxdrostat for uncontrolled hypertension on background therapy. And we've talked about this with the trial, but in the trial and the data previously with the hypertension control, but this is the first aldosterone synthase inhibitor for hypertension. And it's really indicated to be used in combination with other antihypertensive for patients with an adequately controlled blood pressure despite two or more agents, including a diuretic. And if you recall that the Bax hypertension data showed the 12-week placebo-adjusted seated systolic blood pressure reductions of about 9.8 millimeters of mercury with the 2-milligram dose and 8.7 milligrams with the 1-milligram dose, and that was pretty consistent across the board. When you look at kind of a placebo, like I said, adjusted dosing schedule. And again, it's indicated for an add-on therapy for that particular patient population, and it appears to be pretty consistent, even if, you know, the dose is stopped for a period of time. It may indicate that there's still a consistent lowering of blood pressure effects. Of course, as we saw in the data, there is a slight increased risk of hyperkalemia with the agents, which kind of might be tied, suspected with aldosterone synthase inhibitors, a chance for hypotension and hyponatremia and dizziness to occur from that particular standpoint. So it is exciting. I think the product is going to be available in markets in early June, but you can most certainly kind of be thinking about your patients and working through what the process would be to get that that medication approved and ready for a patient, or what you would want to do from that standpoint. So that's exciting. The other kind of exciting news that we heard this week is that Eli Lilly announced the kind of early phase 3 results of their triple agonist, retatrutide, and it may have the best weight loss efficacy to date. And we haven't seen the full data of the TRIUMPH, phase 3 TRIUMPH study, but this is definitely one of seven trials in large program, looking at a 4, 9, and 12 milligram dose of a triple glucagon-like peptide 1 and glucose-dependent insulinotropic polypeptide agonist against placebos and placebo in obese adults with one at least weight-related comorbidity. And it did meet its primary and secondary endpoints after 80 weeks of treatment. All experienced weight loss, with the highest dose getting about 28.3% of their body weight compared to 2.2% in the average. So, you know, the results show the highest efficacy weight loss and really prompted 12 milligram doses of patients to lose about 45.3% of the patients to lose more than 30% of their body weight. So that's, you know, pretty comparable to weight loss surgery and pretty exciting. And we're excited to see the data from this. However, like anything with these agents, there is always the tolerability-based issues that we are concerned about in terms of patients having to discontinue treatments and how they could be in terms of tolerability. We'll have to wait until we see that particular data come out from this standpoint. And then the last kind of major update is, if you look, and this is interesting to see in the New York Times, they kind of published this and showed this particular data, and there's been some talk around this, and this is a single infusion of a gene editing or CRISPR-based therapy to reduce LDL long-term, and we've seen some of the data presented for FH, but this is interesting because it was published in New England, and typically they don't publish phase 1 or small preliminary-based data, but it showed that gene editing treatment dramatically lowered cholesterol levels, perhaps permanently, after just one infusion. And obviously this needs to be confirmed in larger studies to show this and to show what it is going to do. But the study published in New England was an interim analysis of 35 patients in the trial that involved as many as up to 85 participants that are going into it. And they all have a genetically high level of LDL cholesterol. So these are the patients that have kind of a genetic disposition to a higher LDL that we often think about, familial hypercholesterolemia. And that single infusion reduced the LDL cholesterol levels by 60%. And this is, you know, data that was, again, published or presented earlier, but it's a good reminder that it's been in New England. And that has been sustainable in subgroups who members were treated 18 months ago. And there's a larger study of 200 patients that are going to be done, and we'll get to see that and get a little more feel if there's going to be any safety processes. And just as a reminder, if you think about gene editing therapy, the FDA requires that all patients in gene therapy studies be followed for 15 years to check for safety. So it'll be a while before you get to see the kind of overall picture of what this is going to look like, but it's exciting to see this type of therapy and breakthrough coming down the pipeline from that particular standpoint. So, you know, definitely a lot of things coming out from the hypertension, cholesterol, cardiometabolic front that are, or cardio-kidney metabolic front that are exciting to see and hear from. And then, you know, I think we are really getting a variety of different options out there for patients to really help manage and mitigate the risk of the cardiovascular disease profile. And it's very timely for a couple of these agents and conversations to be had, given the fact that we have had our updated hypertension guidelines that came out at the end of last year. We just had our new dyslipidemia guidelines that we've talked about more recently on the podcast that will tie into these themes thematically. And then even more so, from my understanding on a recent call, that the cardiokidney metabolic guidelines, which we have talked about anticipating coming, are going to be coming out by the end of June for sure. So we can anticipate those coming out in the next few weeks. And I most certainly anticipate us doing an episode around the CKM guidelines as they come out, and excited to be able to share what they're going to contain, what we know, what we don't know, what the changes are going to be as we move into the summer and really get into some of our additional content. And thinking of that, we have a bunch of exciting things planned. That's why we are doing a mini episode today, trying to get some of this newer content or other content organized, devised, recorded, and ready to go. So with that, I look forward to seeing you on the next podcast, and then hope you enjoyed this mini episode. And you can most certainly find these news articles or stories or studies, like I said, in New England, both for the Baxfindi, the Baxdrostat study being published, the BaxHTN, which was in New England, the study regarding the CRISPR elements for the cholesterol in New England. And Triumph has not been published, but you can most certainly see the news press clippings if you Google it. So excited to see what's coming down the pike. Thank you, and have a great day. Please, again, if you like this content, like, subscribe, let us know. Thank you. Bye-bye.